Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. And if you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener Podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Now let's get growing.
Down.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So.
Now let me just make sure I understand. So you guys actually help people set everything up, right? You bring the hive to their house, or it's like, it's if that's what they want, if they've never done this before?
Yes, that's a part of what we do. We have a service end, is what we call it, where we do exactly that. Or
okay, because I was just going to put that in the introduction, but
yeah, we do like a service where we'll come out, we'll help set up hives, we'll do inspections. Like one gal approached us, she needs to be out of town frequently if it lands during a time when she knows the bees are going to need an inspection and maybe something, you know, boxes added or something. Would we be able to do that? Exactly. We'll do that. We have another gentleman that wants us, it's his first year beekeeping. He wants us there every visit until further notice. So,
cool.
You know,
okay.
Just he feels better having somebody else there that's more comfortable with the bees. So
excellent. All right.
Yeah, whatever reason.
Well, we'll tell listeners about it because I think it'll inspire people to think about either starting a business like this in their place or look for a business like this that already exists wherever they are. And I think it'll be great to inspire Montana people to, you know, especially local people to look you guys up and, you know, hopefully in our environment.
You know, this is kind of a new idea in our part of the country, but on the East Coast, it's a
big business.
It's a very popular.
Cool.
Yeah, it is a niche market and it's a fairly new one, but it's booming, you know.
Well, I can tell from experience, like, you know, the money you put into bees and then it gets really disappointed. Like, we just lost a hive like 2 weeks ago. That was, they were both out and thriving. And then, and like, you know, it's just, it would be nice to have somebody close by. Like, I can totally see it. So I'm going to probably have some questions for you too. And then, I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great thing. Or today's guest who has a new business going near me in the Flathead Valley, which is just one county away. And, it's a business that you might be interested in either looking into to see if there's one in your community or your state, or maybe starting a business like this. Like, it might inspire some people to say, wow, I can do that. And so today I'm going to welcome Lisa Foley. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
And
so excited to be here talking to you too.
Yeah. So we're very excited. So Lisa's business is called Tamarack Apiaries. And if you don't know, if you're not from Montana, a tamarack is a larch tree, which are one of my favorites. Anyway, Tamarack Apiaries. And they, one of the things I really love about them is they're focused like on the environment. And they really help people who purchase their hives be successful. And, you know, many of my listeners know Mike and I got hives. Don't know if anybody, I don't think I mentioned that we lost a hive this spring. So I know I am going to be really relevant because they are really focused on helping people be successful. And when you get into beekeeping, you realize that there's a lot of parts and pieces and just a lot of things that you need to do right. And so having somebody there that you can, that can be a resource for you, that can help you, I think Tamarack Apiaries is going to be a great thing for the Flathead Valley because they're very centered on helping the bees and helping people be successful because they care about the environment and the bees' environment. And they're not just like, here's a pack of bees, you know, good luck. And, you know, you don't see the people again. And so, anyway, I'm going to let her tell you about their business. But I wanted to say that I can really see it because we've been struggling with our bees. And because they were fine like 3 weeks ago. And then just last week, all of a sudden we went in, both hives had bees buzzing everywhere and we went back in. So anyway, that's a long story short and a long introduction. So welcome, Lisa. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, thank you. Well, like you said, we are a new business here in Kalispell, Montana. This is kind of funny. It started a little over a year ago, about a year and a half ago. My husband asked me, so what do you think? Should we get a couple beehives in the put them in the backyard? Well, yeah, let's do. And here we are, and we have a bee store. We currently have 6 beehives ourselves. We've gone up and down. The nature of bees are they will die, and we've tried some experimental things and lost some, and some have gotten stronger. So we're definitely on the learning curve ourselves. But we are very, very passionate about bees and educating people on bees and helping people to get over the hurdles that we have and look at things, you know, in an open-minded way and a little bit differently than maybe what common industry is telling us.
You know, I always tell guests when sometimes some people are hesitant about coming on the show that a lot of times people who are newer to gardening have a lot of as they're going through the experiences, what us other newer gardeners are feeling, like the things are fresher. It's just like when I became a teacher, like sometimes a newer mentor, somebody who recently became a teacher just a couple of years ahead of me would teach me more. Like as gardeners, like some of the newer people have like a little more perspective of like what's really going through, and they remember and they just know more. So I think I love the way you guys are new, but you're taking everything that you've learned and you're sharing it, and you're going out there and you're seeing a need. You're seeing what other people have from your own firsthand experiences, and just I just think this is a great thing. So and you're doing it as a full-time mom with a big family at home. I can't even believe this. So I'll be quiet and let you go back to telling us. So I do always like to ask people about your very first gardening experience. Like, how old were you? Were you a kid? Were you an adult? Who were you with? What'd you grow? Like, what was your very first? Is this your first gardening experience, your garden here?
No, I have gardened myself since before I can remember. My mother tells stories of when I was just a little toddler. She says, "You remember gardening with me?" And I don't remember. But I do remember gardening, you know, as I grew a little bit older. I, even at different times in my life, I asked my mom, "Can I have my own garden spot?" So I think it's in me. It's been there my whole life. I come from a family of gardeners. My dad's family, primarily, every single one of his siblings, and his mother, they're all gardeners. It's kind of funny when I go visit one of my, you know, uncles or aunts, and I know where I'm at because they have this big old garden.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. And do you want to tell us, like, is that how you learned how to garden organically? Or, like, was it somewhere else in your journey or just from your family? Or are you doing something different?
Mostly from my family. My dad and my mom both garden. My mom's more the flower gardener. She does some vegetables. My dad is the vegetable gardener and does everything as natural or organic as he can. And trial and error there. You know, we all have experiences. Mm-hmm. That's how I grew up gardening, and that's how I continue gardening. I don't put anything in my garden that I don't know what it is. And I try to buy my seeds and plants and stuff the same way. If I know who started it and then how they do it. Since moving to the Flathead Valley, I've actually feel very lucky. I've connected with a few local people that I know how they garden, and we share plants and seeds. We've placed orders together, and I just feel like I have a little stronger network here with that aspect than where I came from.
Excellent. And so we were just at this seed fair that they had down in Kalispell last weekend together, and we didn't even get a chance to meet. We were all excited because it was so crazy and so crowded, and there's just this huge insurgence or resurgence, or I don't know what you want to call it, of people down there interested in gardening, and it was just packed, and it's so fun, and so to see the excitement in the air of people saying, you know, we're excited to get seeds growing and new gardens coming up there. So I think it's a perfect time for you to start this business. So we had to be a visionary.
Well, yeah, and we're
going to help those gardeners.
And we actually filed our paperwork, started our business officially late summer, but we knew that's not really, we weren't ready for the store to open. Uh-huh. We still had things to get ready. So then we geared it to open in, you know, late winter, knowing that we needed to be open, be able to help the people that need bees, to get those packaged bees ordered, get our store functioning so that people can get the materials they need going into that first part of the year of beekeeping year, you know, in April, April's when things start ramping up. So April, May, we needed to be up and going by then. And it's just been phenomenal. Everybody we talk to is so excited we're here and that we're doing this. And that's really what started us on this journey with expanding our bees into being a store and a service industry owner. We just saw the need everywhere. Everybody we talked to was in bees, or if they weren't themselves, they had a friend that was. And they're just frustrated with the lack of resources in our area. They, you know, materials are hard to come by. Equipment's hard to come by. Educators are almost non-existent. So it was just something that we heard over and over and over. And we're like, you know what? We could do this. And, you know, we've studied hard and heavy the last year and a half, reading books and internet and YouTube and talking with other beekeepers in our area and other places. Mm-hmm. And so what we don't know firsthand experience, we have learned through other people's experiences, and hopefully it helps us and our other beekeepers around us that we can learn from some of these trial and errors other people have had to go through.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're right, because a lot of like the information I've gotten, like there is a great beekeeping group that meets once a month in Columbia Falls. But for someone like me, that's just kind of basically impractical to get to that meeting. And so to have a store where there's going to be, you know, and then where's the closest place to order stuff from? In Polson, that bee place down there, you know, it'd be nice to be able to, like, on your trip to the Flathead, or certainly for people that live there already, to be able to just go into one place, you know, while you're down there doing your shopping day. So tell us about your store and tell us about what you're going to have to offer, and just, I don't know, tell us everything.
Well, our official name is Tamarack Apiaries, but we have a coined term for it, the Bee Store, and it's getting used so much that we actually are going to make that part of our signage. We are the Bee Store. Anything bee. People ask us, well, what is it you do? I'm like, well, in a nutshell, anything bee. We, of course, we took orders for packaged bees, and our personal goal, our bees that we're raising at home, we're doing with the intention to raise bees that are hardy for our area, overwinter them successfully, you know, get them growing, and then in a few years from now, we hope to be able to sell our own bees that are local bees, local bred and raised bees. So we're doing it. We're trying to be treatment free. We're just trying to get them healthy and strong for our area. So that's kind of our personal end of what we hope to, you know, offer into this too. And then our store itself sells anything that you might need to keep your bees, whatever way you choose. We have, you know, hive boxes and frames and tools and smokers and bee suits. We're bringing in local crafters that make things out of bees, wax, and honey. And we have local honey. Our inventory will just keep growing as, you know, as we're open and the store grows. We're going to just keep growing anything bee we hope to offer. We are also planning to offer classes at our store. We have a large room that we could do that. We've been asked over and over and over if we would do bee classes. And so that's something that we're looking into and researching. We would like to be able to offer them, you know, teaching people what we know, but also bring in guest speakers. Mm-hmm. that can teach from another point of view, or target a certain topic for us or whatever. So we have a lot of excitement over that, and we're actually hoping to have our first class would be similar to what we did at that Free the Seeds event. It was a basic beginning beekeeping course. My husband that day was so busy. We were both going to go up and do that, and our booth was so swamped, he had to leave, go do the class while I manned the booth. And good thing we could split ourselves like that, because his workshop was so full.
Yeah.
He told me, he said it was people sitting on the floor, between the seats, and standing along the walls, all the way up to the front by him. So
Yeah,
and
the
then
biggest
there were more
complaint
people that wanted to come in that couldn't get in.
The biggest complaint up at the front door was you guys didn't plan this well enough to accommodate all the people that are here. And we just were like, you know, well, I basically just like showed up to volunteer. I cannot claim anything for planning. All I did was let Robin come on and tell people about it. And then Pam also, she was the volunteer coordinator. But so I helped her at the front door greet people. And so as people were leaving, the biggest complaint was the rooms were too crowded. You guys, you know, and we thought, you know, 300, yeah. 500 people might show up. You know, 700 people said maybe on Facebook. So we thought, you know, maybe half of that, or at least I did. I told my husband that morning, I'm like, oh, probably 200-300 tops. She had 500 flyers. They were gone before 10 o'clock when it was supposed to start because people wanted to be in those rooms at 10 o'clock. It was crazy. Yes. So
it
yeah,
was phenomenal.
So I am so excited his workshop went good and so many people are interested. And so tell us more.
Tell you more. I could go on and on, but
okay.
No, so like we're hoping to have, we haven't pinned down dates yet, and that's our biggest thing, dates, and then get that advertised. Mm-hmm. But we hope to be offering another class similar to that of a basic beginning beekeeping that in our own facility, it allows us more time. Mm-hmm. So we could have, you know, have the workshop itself, but then there was lots and lots of people that had questions that couldn't fit it in during that period of time that we had. And they came, they rushed my husband afterwards and he couldn't stay there because that room had to get emptied out. So we, you know, we just see that this is going to be something people need more of.
Yes.
At the store, we're always open and welcome to people stopping by if they have questions. They have bees or don't have bees.
Tell us where the store is.
Bees. What's that?
Where is the store?
The store is right by Woodland Park. It's 430 Conrad Drive, right across from Woodland Park where the ducks and geese are. It's a little red building. For years and years, it was Kay's Bridal Boutique.
I know exactly where it is.
Most people do.
But most people do, yes. That's what I was just going to say. So cool. Okay, so if they're listening now, they know where to go.
It's a good location as far as that goes. People know where it's at. We don't have a lot of parking in front of the store, but the park's right there. That offers a lot of parking. There are some side streets people can park on, so don't get discouraged if you pull up and it looks too crowded. There is other parking around. Go across to the park and walk over. It's a short, easy walk.
Excellent. Okay, so sorry. So people are welcome to come into the store and...
Yes, and ask questions. Talk about their experiences. You know, what we kind of hope is that our store becomes a place for, not just for us, but like a community place where people come talk bees. Whether it's with us or with each other. So that won't necessarily work in the day-to-day all the time, but we're free and available. We're glad to answer questions. If we're busy, of course, our time will be short. But we do enjoy that, and we welcome it. We've had many come in already that either have experiences to share or questions to ask. Some people are beekeepers or were previously, and they're looking at getting bees again. Some people come in and they would like to get bees, but they kind of want to learn more first. So they come in with questions or find out what should they be, you know, reading or looking at, or what questions do they even need to ask before they get bees.
Okay, so let's start with some of those. What is the first thing a beekeeper would want to get? Because, like, we traded our hives for a bunch of firewood and they kind of came with the bees and everything all put together, honey and everything in them late one summer. So what do people, like, want to start with?
Well, our simple recommendation for everybody, if you're a beginner beekeeper, it's best to have two hives. A lot of people are like, why two? Two, because then you can compare one with the other. If one's not doing well, you'll know. If for some reason one of them dies out, your queen dies or something, you have a second hive. And we'll teach people how to do this. You have a second hive that you can borrow from, and you can re-queen your hive, or you can add brood. Your success rate will be better if you have two hives. Now, two hives, everybody asks, well, how much is it going to cost? Well, cost is a variable thing. Beekeeping can be as inexpensive as you'd like it to be if you're willing to do some parts and pieces yourself, or you have some equipment already, or know somebody who can make it for you, or have the skills to make it yourself. In fact, on our website, we're adding a new page, a DIY page, do-it-yourself Oh, nice. And it'll go through some different things where people can do some things themselves, build parts, medications maybe. They don't know what's in the stuff you buy on the shelf. So we have found different sources for recipes for, different treatments that people might want to do. Like I said, we're trying to do treatment for ourselves. But we realize that beekeepers, everybody has their way, their opinion, their idea of what's right. So our place isn't to tell people how they should do it. We just want to share information. We will guide you if you really don't know. Of course, we can try to teach you how we're doing it, the pros and cons, that we've seen along the way.
Awesome. I just had Jacqueline Freeman on from out in Washington who is big in the treatment-free beekeeping. And she even talked about there's a treatment-free beekeeping Facebook group that you can join. But she wrote a book kind of more about communicating with the bees, but she really promoted that type of bee care. And also Heather Wood out in Washington is another person I interviewed who's really, and she's starting a bee podcast if people want more information about bees, another podcast to listen to, Heather Wood. She was my Earth Day guest last year. She's just an amazing woman, and she has a bee sanctuary in Olympia, Washington. It's going to be nice to have a local source as more information gets out there. And then you guys, I'm glad that you're promoting the treatment-free, because that's the way Mike wants to go. And I kept telling him, well, I keep hearing about these Varroa mites, but I really like the treatment-free way of dealing with the mites the best, I think. So if listeners want more information there, too. Your website, too, before I forget, just not to go off on another tangent yet, but there are some great honey recipes there. Listeners, I just got to tell you, if you're hungry at all, I'll try to remember to get to that later. Okay, so guidance into teaching people how you're doing it. But, so what comes in a basic hive? Like, if somebody wants to, think about the very total novice, which is kind of me, because the bees are definitely Mike's project too. There's frames I know you have to get. I know one time I ordered the wrong frames. They were is it a super or deeper? I don't know.
It can get very confusing. We try to counsel beginning beekeepers.
Okay.
Don't make it more confusing than it is. It can be very, very simple.
Okay.
It sounds like a lot, but if you just keep it simple, it'll be okay. Focus on the big things and keep this other stuff simple. So a basic startup of a hive, we're talking the Langstroth model hive. There are Topvar hives, there's Waray hives. There's a few different styles of hives out there. All we have in our store currently is the Langstroth model. So this is the boxes with the insert frames. Which a great book to read, by the way, is Langstroth's book itself by L.L. Langstroth called The Hive and the Honeybee. I think a lot of people are misconceptioned about the current box as being something that was designed for commercial use. It was not designed with that in mind. It was designed for hobby beekeepers and home beekeepers. It was just such a good design that the commercial industry was able to take it, add a few tweaks, and it works great for hauling the bees to pollination. So that's just a misconception we've seen everywhere, and we do recommend everybody to read that book before they read too much or watch too much other places.
Okay.
Because it just covers the basic instruction. I mean, not instruction, but the basic reasoning and health and habit of the bee.
Cool. All right. I'm going to get that too, because we need a good, the only book we have is Beekeeping for Dummies, which has been a good book, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I've looked at several books and it was my favorite so far, but it would be good to have another fresh one.
Yes. And that one just brings us back into the 1800s when he wrote this book. People weren't hauling their bees all around the world yet. So it definitely, kind of an eye-opener, and it explains the hows and whys of this particular hive. So, back to that hive. You would have, to start off, you need at least two boxes just to get started. So two, we call them brood chambers, they're a deeper box. And then the frames that fit in those, we just call, and they have certain measurements, all these do, but in simplifying everything. There's frames that fit in those ones, and we just call them deeps, and frames for the deeps are, you know, if you come in and you say that, we know what you're talking about. Then the honey supers or mediums go on top, and that's where the bees would typically store their bulk honey. So the bigger boxes are designed for the brood area where the queen resides and lays her eggs. You need at least two.
Okay.
And we have a hobby kit or a brood, sorry, we do have a hobby starter kit too, but we have a brood chamber kit that's the very basic startup. Forgive me, but I forget the price. I have to stop in the store.
Okay.
But it's just two of those chambers with all the frames, your bottom board, your top cover, everything that your hive absolutely has to have to get started. The next one, the hobby kit, adds two more boxes to that, so it has a little more room. Now, with all that said, we have found a way that makes it simpler for those that aren't maybe not as agile, elderly. I would say even women. I'm a woman, and if I was doing beekeeping by myself, I would choose to go this way. But my husband's there to help me. But it's all mediums. You only use medium boxes. Keeps everything simplified. All your boxes are the same size, so all your frames are the same size. And they're smaller and lighter weight, so it's easier to lift them if you need to move boxes or add boxes. You can without those heavier ones.
Okay.
That's something that we have learned about, and it's just a really nice idea for some people. So it can be as simple or as complicated as you want it to be, really. If, you know,
okay,
bees don't really care what size box you give them. There's certain spacing inside the box that, oh, they'll work with anything you give them. That's why top bar hives work. That's why Warre boxes work. But, you know, as far as up or down, side to side, they don't really care what size that space is, you know, the box itself. So you can change it up a little to fit what you need. And if you want to build your own, there's plans out there. They're pretty basic. The boxes are pretty basic. The frames, this is one that gets complicated or confusing for a lot of beginners.
Okay.
The frames for the box, you know, just four-sided frames that sit in there. We have people come in all the time. Well, I've read about foundationless or foundation. It's pretty simple, really. You can buy it with the foundation or without. Foundation is a, you know, the plastic pre-printed pattern with coated in beeswax, and the bees draw out their honeycomb to that pattern. Or foundationless, you can use the same frames, and you can let the bees do their own thing, kind of like you would in a top bar hive, but it's a little more controlled than the Langstroth. It has the four sides and the frame that's removable. So it's we have examples of both in our store. So we show people, you know, this or this, and this is how they do it. This is how they do it. We've done both in our hive. So, you know, coming into the store, it's really a learning experience because you get to see hands-on. We have hives parts we've used in there. So we can literally show people this is what it looks like.
Excellent.
When it's brand new equipment, you don't know for sure,
mm-hmm.
You know. So, I don't know. Everybody I talk to, I try to encourage them. If you are interested in bees or have bees and have questions, just please stop by the store and talk to us. If you have equipment you're wondering about, bring it in. We'll look at it. You know, we had a gentleman come in. He had bees 15 years ago. Something happened. I didn't catch what happened, why his bees disappeared, but his equipment's just been stored. So he brought it in, and we looked at it, and with what we could see and what we knew, we counseled him along them lines of what was usable and what not. And he thought he'd have to replace all his equipment. Was very happy to find out that he didn't have to.
Cool. Okay.
So.
So do you want to talk about your garden at all? Like what kind of, do you plant certain flowers for your bees or anything like that?
You know,
That's cool.
I've always integrated flowers in my garden just because I knew pollinators are more attracted to the garden if there's flowers, and not all the time is the garden blooming. But if I have flowers in there, it's more appealing to me, and it also attracts these pollinators, even when there's nothing blooming for them right at that moment. Anyway, so I have, as I learn more, though, I am planting more things, you know, bee-friendly plants. And I don't know, I have chives. I've always grown chives. It's something I dig up and haul with me if I move. Oh. We noticed last year was our first time having bees on this property. I mean, well, it was our first time living at this property, but it's the first time bees have been on this property ever, I think.
Oh.
And there's plum trees lining the property line between us and the neighbors. And the branches on the plum trees were hanging all the way to the ground. They were so heavy with plum. I overheard the neighbor lady telling her husband or her friend, "I have never seen the plums this full before."
Oh, because of the bees pollinating them and
everything.
Thank
you to the honeybees.
Excellent. Yes. I love that.
Yes, and my garden did phenomenal last year. I think primarily because of the bees. You know,
yeah.
They were there. I could see them working in my garden anytime I went out there. You know, I'd go out there to work the garden. I'd end up sitting there watching the bees and the flowers buzz off to the next ones. Bee time.
I got a lot of chive seeds this year to plant, so we'd have more chives because I know that's where they all go in the beginning because those are the first ones to bloom, and they bloom for a really long time, and they're so pretty, those
yes.
big purple type of bulbs. And so I'm going to plant more chives in different places this year for the bees.
Yes,
and then
and
once
if you
plant
them back
like
when they start to die off, you can they'll rebloom again.
Oh,
like if you trim off the faded flowers and let them be, they will rebloom.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
love chives. I use them in my cooking, but I like how they look, and yes, I think they offer a lot to the bees and other pollinators that come into the garden.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us about something you're excited to try in your garden this year that you haven't tried before?
Unfortunately, this year I'm not planning much of a garden.
Okay.
We just have,
a
lot going
on
with the
bees.
Yes. And we just decided that this year is not a good time to do much for a garden. So I'm focusing more on taking out my perennials, not taking them out to get rid of them, but I'm putting them into pots. We're hoping to move, actually.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. You know, to a different place. So I just kind of want to get everything ready that I can take what I want with me because the owner of the property where we're living has different plans for it. It won't be a residence for much longer.
Oh.
Uh-huh. So I'm not leaving my perennials to get plowed under.
Good thinking. And that,
so
I'm
going to do that. That's my primary focus this year is just get things into pots. And in my pots, I like to try to do things so they'll still get the same nutrients and benefit that they could have gotten in the ground. Hopefully, it's harder because they're so confined in the in the pot.
Yeah, I think pots are way harder, and they run out of water so much more. You just spend most of your time just trying to keep them watered. But I was going to say one of the things I love about perennials is that they do come back. So you know, it's nice that you can move them that way, and they spread out and they double kind of on their own a lot. I was just Mike and I kind of did a little tour through the garden yesterday, and I was saying we really need to separate those irises. We could have way more irises if we would just separate the ones that are growing. We haven't done that in a few years. Do you want to tell us what your least favorite activity to do in the garden? Is there something that you have to kind of like force yourself to get out there and do?
Oh, I think I'm real odd in this, but I don't really care for weeding. I have to laugh because I think most gardeners I talk to, it's probably our least favorite chore. Every once in a while I run across somebody who claims it's their favorite thing to do, but I don't mind. And I do try doing a heavy mulch and plant things so that I don't have as much weeding to do. But, man, to take a few hours and go out there just to weed the garden just really is something that I don't do. I try to weed when I'm out there, but every now and again, things get away from me, and pretty soon I have a weed patch. You know, if I didn't do something quite right or I mulched with something that was too heavy with seeds.
That's what I was thinking, is that people who say they don't mind weeding, I think we all kind of feel that way, like a little weeding here and there, but when it gets away from us and all of a sudden there's a big, huge patch, that's when none of us like. What is your favorite activity to do in the garden then on the flip side?
Oh, I love the planting of the seeds and the magic. I call it magic because you plant this little seed and a few weeks later you have a plant. And it amazes me. I've gardened my whole life. I'm 38 and I still am amazed. So and I think I will always be. But I teach my kids that. I bring them out and I'm like, watch, you know, we plant the seed and go out and water and check on it. And some things, of course, it's just a matter of days, and other things take a few weeks. But it's like magic. All of a sudden, we have this whole plant growing.
I hear you. My basil plant's just coming up in my window, and I totally feel that excitement. Cool. I love the way you're sharing that with your kids. What's the best gardening advice you've ever received?
Oh.
I know. This is a hard one.
Well, it's a good question, but there's so much out there that I feel like could be the best gardening advice. And you know, it really just depends on somebody's where they're at in gardening. But I don't know. I tell people, beginner gardeners that talk to me, I tell them, you know, everybody should have a garden. You don't have to have a half-acre garden. Start small, even if it's in your front flower bed. I've grown tomatoes and peppers in my flower bed, my front of my house flower bed. I had a house in South Dakota, and I had this funky little bush at the end of my front flower bed, and a neighbor person asked me, you know, what is that little plant? They thought it looked pretty cool. I told them it was zucchini. No way. Like, it absolutely is. So I just think that, you know, people just start small if they're starting off in gardening. That's really, it allows them to discover the thrill and the enjoyment without being overwhelmed right off the bat.
I think that's awesome advice, and that's so true. And my listeners know I talk a lot about convenience, and because I'm usually always working full-time, at least one job. And so for me, that's part of why Mike's the main gardener at our house, because it's just hard to come home from work, and you can get overwhelmed. And then I'm notorious for going to the store and bringing home like 6,000, you know, hey, look, these were on sale today. Let's put these in somewhere. And like, and then you got to find the spot and just I think people can get overwhelmed really easy. So I'm glad you shared that advice.
I think something people don't realize is that vegetables will look very attractive in a flower bed.
Yeah.
They have shape and patterns and growth habits that are very attractive if you just look at them differently. So, and put some flowers in amongst it and nobody thinks anything of it. They don't think, oh, she's got a vegetable garden in her front of her house. No, they think that's a cool looking bush and they want one too.
Yeah. And somebody was just not, it could have been Jacqueline Freeman. I can't remember. Someone was just talking about how if you let your lettuce go to seed, all of a sudden, like most people don't realize they pull it out after it's done and they don't realize that it's going to produce these pretty blue flowers, or if you let your radishes and it'll grow a really tall plant. And so kind of let some of those things go after you're done harvesting them and you'll find some pretty flowers there too that the bees also like.
Yeah, and you know what? I haven't ever actually done that on purpose very often, but how I garden if something gets missed and it goes, it's really neat to see what they look like, and it does change how you see it.
Yeah.
For sure.
And it's a great way to harvest some seeds afterwards, too.
Yes.
How about your favorite tool? Is there something that you're going to take with you? Like, if you had to move and could only take one tool with you, what would be that one tool you couldn't live without?
You know, I thought about that a little bit because I saw that on your question, and I actually have moved several times. Mm-hmm. I haven't had to limit myself to one tool, but I have gardened many, many places, many times with a simple spade and a rake.
Nice.
And you just dig up your spot, kind of turn the soil over, rake it so it's, you know, the clumps are broken up, and there you have a garden bed. Of course, if your soil is workable that way. I've lived in some places where it had to be so... so heavily added to that you couldn't get by that simply. But
we have pretty clay soil here. We've always got to add compost or manure or something to our soil, usually when you first get it started. Although Mike did dig up some the other day where he's been cutting down trees and kind of making some new pasture that looks better than like the stuff in my yard. I know is really clay. We're kind of up on a hill here. Anyway, how about a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden? One of those great ones on your website with the honey in them or something else?
You know, I am I'm a at-home mom for the most part. I can say that, but of course, I've got Easter going on and other things. But I cook most of our meals myself, and most of them are from, you know, raw ingredients or semi-raw. Maybe they've been canned, but I don't really have a favorite. Every year my garden starts off with salsa ingredients, though.
Oh, really?
If I have to limit my garden, I limit it down to tomatoes and onions and jalapenos and, you know, stuff to make my homemade salsa.
Excellent.
And if I have more room or more time, I add on from there. But every year, that's where my garden list starts.
Okay. So, I like that. Thinking about what are you going to use if you could only plant a few things. Don't go, because that's another thing I think people do is they go out and they think, oh, I'm going to plant this and I'm going to plant that and then I'm going to eat this and then I'm going to eat that if I grow it myself. But I think it's good to like think about what are you really going to use that you're going to grow yourself? That you're definitely going to eat.
What do you buy already? What do you already go to the store and buy from either the fresh food or the canned? I mean, salsa you can buy in the store. So if there's something like that you buy all the time, you really enjoy, that would be my thing. Start with that, you know, and try it fresh, try it, process it yourself at home, you know, use some basic canning and can some salsa. They're very, very satisfying when you put those jars away if you've done it yourself.
And there's nothing like opening them up in the middle of winter.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, I just love, Mike cans a lot of pickled beets, and I love to put those on my salads in the middle of winter. It's just great. And we just had canned carrots and green beans this summer. We just ate those last night, too. And it's just a real treat to have that stuff. How about a favorite internet resource? Is there somewhere on the internet you'd like to go?
You know, there's so much on the internet that I really have a hard time specifying any certain place. Okay. Now, with our beekeeping journey, I would call it, mm-hmm. because this thing is just growing on its own and we're trying to keep up with it.
Yeah.
But we have found a couple different resources that we just really, like when people come in the store, we tell them, read this.
Okay.
One, it's YouTube, The Fat Bee Man.
Oh, excellent. I haven't heard of him.
FatBeeMan.com. Yeah, he's all about bees. It's nothing gardening.
Okay.
I think he has a commercial end of his stuff, but his videos he does are completely on do-it-yourself beekeeping at home.
Excellent.
Ways to do things without all the big equipment and the high dollars.
Ooh,
so
nice.
Very useful for somebody with a couple hives or somebody who wants to do some of it, build some of their own equipment or make their own stuff,
okay.
treatments and things too. So yeah, he's a wealth of information.
Perfect.
There's another one. We just stumbled on this actually. We're going to try this with our hives this year. Tim Ives is the guy's name. And he does beekeeping differently than everybody else we've seen.
Okay.
Another term that we saw used for the same method is mega hives. But these hives get to be 3 or 4 brood boxes deep and 9 to 12 honey supers on top.
Wow.
All by the end of June. So these boxes are, I mean, these hives are huge. They're strong. He's able to stay treatment free because the bees are so strong in those hives. There's so many of them. They're just very more healthy, vibrant. You know, it's just, we're just impressed with it. So we're trying that this year.
Nice. All right. I'll bet
so
Mike's
if somebody else is curious,
that.
They can check that out. Just Google Tim Ives or Mega Hives, and it'll bring you to those links to those videos.
And Ives, like I-V-E-S?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I think I have mistakenly told a few people in the store that it's Ivers.
Okay.
I was wrong. It's Ives. No R.
And then you recommended that one book about the Langsford hives. Is there another
yes.
book? Yes. Okay.
That book, again, is The Hive and the Honeybee by L.L. Langstroth.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot out there, really, for reading about bees and beekeeping and gardening. Oh, my. I know I have a bookshelf full of gardening books and only a couple beekeeping books on it so far.
Okay.
But, oh, I just get overwhelmed out there. There's so many. One thing, though, that we do have is the, let me just double check the title of this so I don't say it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Magazine, the American Bee Journal.
Oh, okay.
It's the Beekeeper's Companion, it's called, and it's all about bees, different topics, problems, explaining why and how. That one's completely related to beekeeping. You know, then there's a couple other Mother Earth News, Hobby Farms, those are also magazines that cover lots of different topics in gardening and just, you know, farm life in general, beekeeping, chicken keeping, any goats or whatever. They cover a lot of different topics.
Excellent. But cool. I'll have to look up that.
You know, can be found.
A couple of those, the Beekeeping Journal one and the Hobby Farms, I haven't seen either. Okay, so on the flip side, or just do you have like any business advice that you've learned recently starting a new business that you kind of like just share if somebody was interested in getting started in doing a bee thing, like maybe, you know, in Texas or New York or somewhere?
Well, for us, this was something that developed without us really having such a big goal. Mm-hmm. And we knew for a while we were going to open a bee supply store. But since opening, it already is changing in how far this is going to go. You know, we're going to be offering classes. Mm-hmm. And this bee service part was something that was, I guess, was there originally. We just didn't know for sure how it would work. Mm-hmm. We were approached, though, on these things by other people. It wasn't something we thought of on our own. We were approached by a gentleman last summer. He has a home here on the Flathead Lake, but he doesn't live right here. He lives mm-hmm. a couple hours away, and he wants to have bees here. Would you guys come take care of my bees? We're like, well, so we researched, and we found out that's actually a niche market, heavy on the East Coast, and it's growing in other places. So we read on them companies and talked to a few and figured out how they do it and what's entailed and kind of developed our own business plan. Alongside of that and following Montana's regulations on beekeeping. So we kind of put together our plan that way. I guess I don't know of any specific business advice, but this is something my husband and I both are very passionate about, we feel strong about, so we're both in it as a team, learning what we can. Every time there's something new come up, you know, we split our energies and we both research different things and we get together and share our information, and we'll a lot of times end up reading or watching what the other one did just to understand it better. So I feel like we have an advantage there in that we're able to work this as a team and not one person on their own. But I don't know if that's any help to anybody else.
Do you want to tell listeners a little more? Because, you know, I think we talked about most of that in the pre-chat before we got on. I don't think we actually talked about that on the air. About your services where you go and visit people's hives?
Yeah, like I said, this gentleman approached us about doing it, so we looked into it, and then so we've formed this service end of our company where whether somebody wants, you know, somebody's nervous about working their bees, but they want them, and they want somebody around that's more comfortable with bees, we can come out and we can go through the hive, kind of teach you what to look for. It's kind of a mentorship / service. You know, we'll come out and do that, of course, at a small fee, but definitely work side by side with you. Another gal is going to be out of town frequently. She asked if we could come, if she has to be out of town during, like the strong nectar flow. She's just concerned she don't want her bees to suffer just because she's out of town, if we could come and add boxes at the right time. There are all different needs that people have that they might want somebody to come out and service their hive. So, you know, we'll do that. We're also learning as much as we can about the different diseases, so we'll be more knowledgeable about identifying a disease if there is something like that. We've talked with Cam, the Montana State Inspector, about bees, and he knows about our program. He's kind of helped us guide a few areas of it that, you know, we didn't quite understand how to do it and still follow Montana's you know, laws regarding it. So he's been very helpful and will continue to be helpful, I'm sure. So it's kind of something we're learning as we go, but it's a service that offers those who want to have bees, but just maybe aren't comfortable with how they could manage them, that we'll just assist in managing them.
Excellent. Perfect. Okay, ready for my final question?
Sure.
I know. I told you we were going to be done a lot shorter. If there was one change, Lisa, you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity organization you're passionate about or project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
Wow, that's heavy. But
I know.
I'll keep it simple. Something that we are going to be doing that we, my husband and I, again, both feel very strong about is educating the children in our community about bees and the benefits of bees. A lot of people have a misperception, and from a young age, that bees are bad and they sting you and they hurt.
Yes.
So we want to teach kids and get kids involved, looking in the hive and learning really what honeybees do and learning the difference between bees and wasps and hornets. There's a difference. So they're all good for our environment in some way or another, but the honeybees is our specialty. So we feel like education is key. And if we can start with the children, then they will grow up knowing and being aware, and hopefully some of them will still have a passion for bees themselves.
Oh, perfect. I love that. Wouldn't that be funny if you end up being the Earth Day guest again by the time the show comes out? It should be right about that same time. Do you have an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
Oh, the dirt. Dirt is magic. Everybody should plant at least something.
I saw the cutest kid.
And it says, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I saw the cutest kid yesterday at school, and he had this, like, you know, John Deere camouflage t-shirt on, and now I'm gonna forget what it said, but it was something about you have to get in the dirt every day. Every day is dirt. Or, did you get in your dirt today? Or just the cutest shirt. I was like, I wish I could get one of those for Mike, especially he has a John Deere backhoe, so he's always big on John Deere.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Sorry, tell us about your sign.
Oh, I have a little sign that I pull out in the springtime and just put in my, but it says garden, there's magic in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel, and that's how I teach not only children but other beginning gardener people that come to me for advice. I love gardening. I call it a disease in me. I can't ever go a year without gardening. So this year we'll see how it goes. If I do get bit by the gardening bug, I will be doing a garden after all. But
excellent. Well, cool. Well, maybe we can do a regular gardening interview one of these days after you guys settle down in your own permanent homestead. So tell listeners how to connect with you. How do they find your website and find you on Facebook? And just if they're in the local valley, tell them once again where the store is.
Yes, stop by our store. It's at 430 Conrad Drive, right across Woodland Park. The end of the park where the ducks and geese are. That's where we're at, the little red building across the street. Our website is www.bees4u.net. That's B-E-E-S, the number 4, the letter U.net. Our website is loaded with stuff. We also will be posting events we're at. We'll be in Whitefish at Depot Park on Earth Day with a booth.
Oh, you will?
We will.
Okay.
So that's the next lineup that we are aware of. If something comes up sooner, we will be there.
Okay, cool.
But yes.
Excellent. Glad to hear Whitefish is, I guess I kind of heard a little bit about that. So cool. Well, thank you so much. I know this went longer than I thought it was going to be. And I will let you know when it comes out. And just say goodbye to the listeners.
Okay, well, thank you much, and I do hope to, see and talk to people in our store or on the phone. Oh, our phone number at the store.
Oh, yeah.
That's 4, thanks, my mind just went blank.
It's okay.
406-260-0563.
Okay, 406-260-0563 to talk to the amazing people at Tamarack Apiaries who are going to help you get your bees started and feed your bees and take care of your bees and just care for our environment by helping those honeybees have a good place to live. Thank you so much, Lisa. Have a great day.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again before long.